We have a story, hypothetical story, that's told in the Bible about two visitors that come into a church service. One person is well-dressed, obviously somebody with money. Another person that comes in is obviously very poor. They don't have the best clothing. They don't look clean. And this church is especially friendly to the well-dressed man. They make sure that he has a good seat. But the poor man is treated differently. He's ignored. He's set off to the side, out of the way. The church catered to one man and ignored the other. So does this happen? Does this happen in churches? What would happen if somebody came into our church that was very poor? Now you're probably thinking, it wouldn't happen. Well, it hasn't happened in the last 7 years. And we've had guests here, don't get me wrong, but the guests that have come, for the most part, have been people that somebody knew, but not everybody. There has been a guest here that nobody knew. And so what would happen if somebody came in that was very poor, that nobody knew? Well, I can pretty much tell you what would happen, just like with this individual. Two or three people would talk to them, and that's about it. And on the way out, somebody would probably say, come back and see us. Maybe a couple people would do that. It's probably what would happen here in our church. But we don't get that many poor people. We haven't had any poor people since I've been here. So the idea of having a rich man and a poor man coming in and being treated differently would never happen in a church, because we don't even have special seats. I mean, you can sit anywhere. And so we don't have that problem, and I agree, because we don't even have people of a lower class that come and worship with us. Most churches usually worship with people about like themselves, the same financial class. In the first century, when there wasn't a church on every corner, the rich and the poor did worship together, and the poor and the rich today don't often do that in our society, because for the most part, the two groups really don't associate with each other. People worship with people of their own kind and their own financial class. So the lives are not often crossed. So really, we're not even up to the level of the problem they were having in the first century when James is writing about this. But judging people by their appearance, by their financial status, does happen today. It happens all the time. It's all a part of the American culture. The division starts early. You have people that go to public schools, and you have people that go to private schools. You have the community little league team, and you have the private special picked league that you can join if you spend enough money, or if you're good enough, you can make it to the travel team. There are the community colleges, and there are the Ivy League schools. There are the high-quality health care plans that pay for everything, and there are the Medicaid clinics. Now, the government really doesn't help the whole process of poor poverty. It gives a minimal amount of food and benefits. Now, you and I can disagree about what minimal means and whether that's too much, but this isn't a political sermon. But really, the idea is they're making people more dependent on the benefits that they do receive. So our society, and we'll just say all societies, whether it's America or another country, there are clear financial class differences. And people are judged all the time based on their financial worth. And most people really want the government to deal with the poor through their taxes. I mean, after all, I pay taxes. Let the government take care of them, especially when it comes to the church. Now, please don't think that the church escapes, because these attitudes that I've just described that are in the world, they come into the church. But the church is called to be better than the world. So let's look at the problem specifically. James chapter 2, and I want to read the first five verses. My brothers and sisters, believers, our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand here or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So James is really addressing a real problem in the church. And he shares it by this story about the two people, one rich and one poor. One they paid special attention to, which was rich. And it was based on what? On the clothes. On the clothes they were wearing. They were discriminating based on appearance. The one that had the most money is given preferential treatment, and the poor was discriminated against. Now, my friends, this has been happening a very long time, and it happens today. And it often happens openly in some churches. In some churches, when you become a member, you are asked to give your W-2 form about what you're earning. And then they look at your W-2 form and they size you up based on what you're earning, what they expect you to give. This is openly done. It's basically the church making a financial assessment of you. It happens around here. There's churches around here that do that. Now, some ministers make a special effort to befriend, to get close to the big givers of the church. So if you're not a large financial contributor, you probably will never have a relationship with some ministers because they will only have a relationship with the big givers. Now, I don't think we practice open, obvious discrimination, but where we put our attention and influence speaks volumes. This is how the worldly church operates, but this is not how God's kingdom should operate. So what is the right perspective? Let me give you a couple perspectives today to keep the church on track. The first perspective is to resist the urge to give influence to connected people. James chapter 2, verse 3, James says, if you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes, have you not discriminated? Now, let's look at verses 6 and 7 now of James chapter 2. But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? James is picturing a church that wasn't rich by that day's standards, and it wasn't poor by that day's standards. It was a middle-class church. This is where we as a church can relate to them. Now, what this church was doing is they were pandering to people with the money. They were pandering to the very ones that were using their money to hurt Christians. These were the same people that were attacking the name of Jesus, and they were treating Christians with disdain, and yet the people in the church, strangely enough, were giving these wealthy people preferential treatment. You know, there's a feeling and desire. You say, well, how in the world would this happen? There's a feeling and a desire by people to be well thought of. Now, in every area that I've lived, it's always been the connected people. I call them the connected people. These are the people that are related to the right people, the right families. Or around here, it would be the person that owns this many acres. Or it's a person with reputation. And in most small towns, they can tell you who has the money, right? And who doesn't have the money. Generally, every small town, focusing on small towns especially. So the church has always been tempted to favor the one that is connected and well known, and to be suspicious of the outsider and the one that struggles. It's not uncommon for ministers not to preach on certain topics if they're going to offend the wrong person, or to make sure that that person that gives a lot of money is made an elder or deacon. It's very common. Giving preferential treatment to people with money and influence, what it does is it warps the church. I remember one country church I went in, and it was just a common little church. And I walked inside this church, and inside it was immaculate. It was beautiful. They had new seats, new pews. They had new carpet. I mean, it was just a beautiful sanctuary. And I thought, wow, this place is beautiful. And I wondered how in the world this little country church could afford to do all this. And I found out it was a man named Jim. Jim paid for all of that stuff. He paid for all the chairs. He paid for the carpet. He paid for the pews. And Jim, really, and everybody was really appreciative of Jim. But if Jim wanted something done in that church, it happened. And if Jim didn't want something done in the church, it didn't happen. And if Jim did not like you in the church, you didn't stay in the church. See, it really wasn't the church of Jesus Christ. I think it was Jim's church. And that happens. If you give special treatment to someone, they end up holding the church back. They make it their church, and it's not even the church of Jesus Christ anymore. Second perspective, be a church for all classes of people, especially the poor. Now, verse 5 is a puzzling verse. It says, "Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has God not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him?" Now, please understand, this verse doesn't say that only the poor will be saved. It doesn't say that God loves the poor more, and it doesn't even say that you should prefer to be a poor person. It doesn't say any of those things. But the fact is, when the church started, most of the people that became Christians were poor. They were of the lower class. Why? Why were all these people, why were the poor gravitating toward Christianity? Because societies have always neglected the poor. Jesus' message has always resonated with people that are poor. They feel forgotten and abandoned by society. Jesus says, "I love you." They feel weak. Jesus says, "I'll strengthen you." They feel powerless. Jesus says, "Trust me, I'll give you power by the Spirit." Even if everything goes wrong and even everybody forgets you, somebody who's poor will gravitate to Jesus Christ because they will find somebody who loves them. It's a consistent theme, though, throughout the Old Testament. The poor are precious in God's sight. Proverbs 21:13 is a stern warning. Listen to this verse. "Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered." The fact is, when Jesus preached his first sermon, when he started out his public ministry, the first thing that he said was about the poor. This is over here in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. This is the scripture that Jesus chooses to read in his first, what we would call, sermon of his public ministry. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Did you catch that? Jesus came to preach good news to the poor. Now, I realize this sermon may not seem practical because churches are so broken up today by class. As a general rule, and what I've seen over the years, you have your upper to middle class church. You have your middle-class church, you have your middle-to-poor church, and you might have a poor church. That's the way churches are broken down today. So, and churches, they worship by race. We gather up, we're separated. We're a very separated group of people today. But I think, and there's exceptions to all those things, but as a general rule, that's the way the church works. I think part of the blame is on the church. People go where they feel welcome. You know, it always cracks me up to drive along and see a sign, "Everyone welcome," on a sign, church sign. It's not true. It is not true. Whatever the church, anybody puts "everyone welcome," it's not true, because not everybody that walks into that church is going to be welcome. Jesus came to preach to the poor. He mentions it as one of the first purposes for his coming. So how can we be doing his work if we are avoiding lower class people? We can't. So let me give some practical things to work on, practical areas that the church should work on to become a church even for poor people. The first thing we can work on is we can make a special effort to welcome and make people that are poor feel comfortable. They ought to come to our church. If somebody doesn't have much money, they ought to be able to come into our church and feel just as comfortable as someone who's grown up in the church. That means there's going to have to be more than just two people that speak to somebody that comes from the outside. They're invited to church events, and they are welcomed, and they are treated like everybody else. We don't stare at them. Somebody comes in that's different, don't spend your time in the worship service staring at them. No, treat them like everybody else. Make them feel as comfortable as everybody else. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think we're intentionally unfriendly. I just think we are naturally comfortable with people like us. So go ahead and move to the next screen there, Jake. I think when we talk about a new family or families that we want to grow the church, usually this is kind of what we envision. We envision a family like this. Over the years, I've thought about new families and how they were welcomed into churches. And here are some actual comments that I've heard church members say about the new families. They seem like a really nice family. They have a really nice home. Their children are well behaved. He has a good job. They fit in with us. Do you see the financial assessment that's made? We size up people financially. What kind of job do they have? How long have they worked there? What kind of house do they have? What kind of retirement do they have? Do you see how somebody could come from a different class and not feel comfortable around us? See, we judge more by a person's class than their heart. If you go to YouTube, you can find this video. A church shot a video. It was in a city, and they had a homeless person sitting out front, and they had put a video camera there, and they watched people's reactions of the church to this homeless person. And some people walked right by and avoided the person, and some people, you know, had kind of a negative attitude. But most people were generally helpful and friendly and caring about this. But the video follows further, and the homeless person walks into the sanctuary, and everybody's a little nervous because this homeless person's in there. And the homeless person walks up, has a couple bags, and he carries them up on the stage to get up to the podium. And two guys come and kind of gently guide him back down. But he's persistent, and he continues to walk up to the podium. And then he takes down his bags, and he takes off his hat and his jacket. It's the minister. The minister had gone to a professional makeup artist and had decked him out like he was a homeless person. The minister was doing his best to try to send a message to the church. We have to work on being a church for everyone. Not everybody's going to look like this family here. Even people that are struggling. Now, we also have to work on treating people like they were Jesus. Look at James again, James 2, verses 8 through 11, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. For he who said you shall not commit adultery also said you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery but you commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. James says, keep the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. He's actually quoting Jesus here. These are the words of Jesus. And you might remember Jesus' conversation in Matthew 22 when an expert of the law came up to Jesus and was trying to trap him and said, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus points out that when we are not welcoming and we are not loving to the poor, we are sinning. It's not just a matter of us being unfriendly. Not us being hospitable. It's an actual sin. Now, it's tempting to say, okay, now I'm going to treat everybody like Jesus. Okay, so we picture Jesus as a well-dressed white American man. This is not from the Bible. Jesus was Jewish. His family tree had non-Jews in it. How did he come to this world? He was born to a poor family than any of us probably have ever known. His hometown was on the wrong side of the tracks. He did not own a home in his life on earth here. He wasn't married. He was known as the son of a carpenter, and he took on the very nature of a lowest person in society. He spoke to sinners. He spoke to prostitutes. He spoke to the wealthy. He spoke to the middle class. He appeared very poor, but he left the glories and riches of heaven to come to us. So if we cannot love and welcome the poor, I'm not sure that we would love and welcome Jesus himself. Because if you think about this, if Jesus came to us as he was in the first century, he would be the poorest person that you'd ever seen in your life. Because Jesus was a poor man. Not poor in spirit, but poor with worldly possessions. I think if we're honest, we'll all admit that we all judge people more by appearance than who they are inside and what their heart is. Our passage calls us to love everyone, the rich and the poor alike, and to treat people like we would want to be treated. Another thing we need to work on is that church needs to be a place of mercy. Let's look back at our text again now. This is verses 12 and 13. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. James is basically saying, listen, don't blow this off. Act with the awareness that your words and your actions are going to be judged. When we let Jesus into our hearts, things change. We don't look at things the way the world does. See, we are better than the world. We don't put people into classes of people. Our outlook has changed. We begin trying to show love and mercy to everyone. And God sees how we treat people that aren't connected. The point of this message today is not just to try to be friendly to homeless people and to try to be nice to people that don't have. That's not what I'm trying to say. The idea of today is to change the way we live our lives and to live a life based on mercy, loving people like we do Jesus, making efforts not to judge people by what they have, but by their heart. We have to catch ourselves or we're going to start acting like the world and the church. The church and the world are different places. The church is for everyone, especially the poor, and they are favored by God. So how do we help them? I want you to watch this short video.
My name is Ronald Davis. I've been on the street for about a year and a half now. Well, I come from the suburbs. Life, you know, which is rough. And I mean, I didn't sleep in Lower Wacker. I didn't sleep on the bridges. I didn't sleep in little cardboard boxes and stuff, you know, just surviving, especially in the wintertime is the hardest time. And like, I go to a few like applications for a job and stuff. They look at me, you know, I'm not looking presentable. And then they, well, we'll call you, leave a number. But how can I leave a number when I don't have a phone? So it's just a struggle out here. You know, I just, you know, from day to day, people, I come out here and panhandle with my cup. Right here at the Metro train station, people come off bringing me sandwiches and stuff like this here. And I start out in my morning about 6 o'clock. You know, sometimes I don't even have enough to go to the flop house. You know, sometimes the flop house is a cheap place and they number $16 for 24 hours right over there on Clark and Van Buren. And a lot of times I don't have enough money for that, so I had to end up sleeping in the park or on one of these benches downtown or something like this. And then the security guards come and run you off about 5 or 6 in the morning. So by 6 o'clock, I started panhandling and trying to survive. And like I said before, some days I don't even have enough to get it wrong, so I just sleep on the street. But I depend on the people that's coming off the train because most of them I give them respect. You know, most of them like me. They come out and give me clothes and food and stuff like this here so I can survive. Give me a few bucks and everything, and I add it up at the end of the day and get me a little room for the night. And whenever I'm not fortunate enough to get the room, I just sleep in the street wherever I can. It's really humiliating to be shaking a cup 24 hours a day and people just look at you like you're some kind of little bum, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I have had people to walk past me and say, get a job, bum. And I said, wait a minute, I'm not a bum, I'm a human being. And it's hard. But after the end of the day, when people go home and everybody get on the Metro train, and then I just feel so bad that I can't be going on, you know. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's really emotional because I'm really trying to get myself together and get off this street, you know. And I don't care what it's doing, if I can get a job and through this humility, you know. I mean, you just lose all your humility when you're shaking a cup begging. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can look at a person and tell if they getting you respect tonight, you know what I mean? A lot of people look at you like you're just a piece of crumb, you know? I had one guy walk past me and talked about me so bad, and then I just looked at him. I said, God bless you, sir. He walked past and went down the street, come right back. And he said, you know what, man, I had a bad day. He said, I'm sorry for even calling you that. He said, because I know you're a human being. He said, would you accept my apology? I said, apology accepted. He went in his pocket and gave me $30 and said, go get you a room and get you something to eat. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, no matter what people think about me, I know I'm a human first. And just because I'm down on my luck, don't give nobody no excuse to call me no bum. Because I'm not.
The church is for all people. For him too. Is he welcome? Do we have room for him? Would we accept him? Now you may say, well, we don't have anybody like that around here, And it's probably true. This far out in the country, we don't. But there's people in need right here. There's people that struggle right here. And Jesus came for them as much as He did for us. We have to reach beyond ourselves. We have to reach beyond our grasp. It's a command from God. So who are you going to reach out to this week that's struggling day by day, week by week? Who are you going to show the love of Jesus to? Those people, just like Him, they're just as welcome in the church. In fact, the Bible says the poor are highly favored. Those people need to be cared for by the church. So where we are here, the people that are struggling, they should be here. They should be right here in the pews. And they should be welcome. See, none of us is good enough without Jesus Christ. The Bible says that our very best is really filthy rags. And when it comes to poverty, we may have money, but if we don't know Jesus Christ, then we're lost and we're poor. That's the kind of poverty we have if we don't know Jesus. But if we know Jesus, even if we don't have much, we're rich. So we have our time of invitation today, and if you have a decision, let's all stand and let's go sing to the Lord on this song here.